Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 29th on the West Coast, now June the 30th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Wow, time is flying. We must be having fun, or it's just plain old speeding up, and we're sort of noticing it. Lots to talk about. Where do we begin? Well, just for your information, we have one more show tomorrow night before we conclude this month. Ken Adachi will be our guest. And we're going to be talking about some really, really interesting things in light of what is going on throughout the world right now, and there's a lot of information coming in from the metaphysical perspective, and we've talked so much about national public radio and the mainstream media and all the shills out there in the media that are covering up what's going on. All these spiritual writings point to let's say what's occurring today is if it were to happen, and particularly the Bible predicts these things in Revelation, and it makes one wonder a little bit if there isn't some of the Illuminati secret plans worked into these things, as if to say, you see, these things have to happen. And there's been quite a bit of research in regard to the Schofield Bible, or the Schofield Study Bible, a series of articles written for the Idaho Observer by Ann Chamberlain. And I've read those articles, and I have to agree with much of what she's written. And my own genealogical research into Schofield shows the same pattern that we find in many politicians. So what I'm alluding to is that the truth comes out about many things, and although we are founded in our belief and founded, let's say our beliefs are founded in the Word of God, those of us that know God and trust that there is a God, a creator of the universe, we have something to fall back on to compare what's going on today. And certainly what we're seeing is quite demonic and quite orchestrated. Now, that's not to say that God couldn't predict that these things would happen. He did it. He didn't have to keep doing it over and over again to show us. And then we have this concept of the rapture. This is mainstream Christianity's answer to not taking responsibility for what's going on, not recognizing that we're all co-creators. And we don't just create on a physical level, but we create even in the mental and the spiritual realms. And what we create, either through our actions or our inactions, has an impact on the rest of the universe. And it's not exclusive to people, but it also affects nature and the animal kingdom. And we're going to talk about that and sort of make some ties to humanity with tonight's guest. He is a health consultant. He is also a chemist, an herbalist, and a historian and a musician. And he's our good friend, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to Evident Footprints. Hello, Michael. Well, let's see. We've lost Michael, so we're going to try to bring him back. I'm going to see if Seth is around. If he's not, I guess I'll have to do this myself. We'll try getting him back into the call, and hopefully if we can do this. Okay, Seth, you are going to have to try to bring Michael into the call, if you can do that, please. I guess he is calling. So we've got messages flying all over the place here. Anyway, didn't see him drop off. We're going to try to get him in again. Oh, my goodness. What do you mean he's not your friend, Seth? Of course he's your friend. All right, we're going to try to bring him in here again. This can be disruptive because he was the first one. Michael, if you're listening, you've got to accept Seth's call. So I'll try to give him a chat message while we're at it here. And I've got people IMing me up and down my screen right now. Okay, well, we're going to try here to bring Michael back into the call. And this is going to take me a moment, so bear with me, folks. This is live radio. And we're going to make an attempt now to get Michael to accept Seth's call here. And hopefully he's paying attention. So we'll see. Okay, Seth, if you can try reaching him again. I think he's awaiting your message. This is, and then I've got someone else taking me to task here. All right. I guess we're trying. I guess he's going to try again here. Okay. Well, we're going to, while Seth's trying to do that, I'm going to go a little bit into what this topic is about. Now, if you've been paying attention to the weather, you've been paying attention to the crops and maybe just things growing in your yard, the sequence of weather that we've had. We have pretty warm weather now. I'm not saying that we have global warming. There are some places that are unusually cool for the time. Some places are seeing lots more rainfall than they normally do. Some places aren't getting any rain at all when they usually do. And what we're noticing also is that certain animals are not appearing upon the scene like they have in years past. In fact, some animals have seemed to totally disappear. There's been a major bee problem for a number of years. To tell you the truth, I've only seen some bumblebees this early in the year. Haven't seen any regular honeybees, the type that you usually see looking for clover or pollinating the plants around your yard, in your garden. I guess we are going to try to reconnect here, and Seth is going to bring on some music while we again try to work through this issue so I can get our guest back on the call here. You're listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Caribbean sun, Caribbean sunrise, muscles. Okay, and we're back. We got our guest here. I just had introduced him and welcomed him to Evident Footprints, and he disappeared. Michael Anthony, how are you this evening?
Good morning, Don. Doing good. Thank you.
All right. We got you. Sorry for the technical problem. I don't know where that occurred, but we're all back here. Anyway, I was talking about all the strange phenomena that are going on with the weather and with animal life, how I noticed that right now you don't see many bees around, at least in my neck of the woods.
Same here.
And now I've seen some bumblebees, the larger ones, but I haven't seen the honeybees anywhere. And nor have I seen hornets, which seem to start coming out about this time as well. And I wanted to basically talk about what our consciousness, aside from all the things we do to pollute the earth and all the crazy things that are going on in science and manipulation of electromagnetic fields and what have you, in militaristic terms, we're noticing that even some of the wildlife that normally frequents the neighborhoods, you know, the trees and gardens around one's home, seem to be smaller in number. Haven't seen the prototypical arrival of the geese or the wild ducks. Got some robins around, you know, they seem to always proliferate in the spring, and of course, you and I have had conversations off the air about birds and other animals that we see, but there seems to be something really strange going on in respect to animals and what's occurring in nature. What is your take on some of this, Michael?
Well, for sure, Don. There are strange occurrences right now, and right here in my immediate area, my backyard, right around here, bees are very sparse. Definitely honeybees. I've only seen a few, and most of them, those few, were dead in my pool. I hate the pool for that, and that's why I don't want to take a chance even trying to start honeybees back here, because a lot of them end up in the pool. But I just seen a few in there, and I tried to save them. I have things floating around, trying to save those guys when they fall in or get blown in by the wind. But the bee activity is real sparse here. And yet, surprisingly, just a few miles down the road south of here, I know some people, and when I was there last year as well, I seen a lot of honeybees on their flowers. I mean, a real lot of honeybees, which I was happy to see. And so, And they have bees there again as well right now, honeybees. So they're around. My sources of honey, which are more remote along the New York-Pennsylvania border, they're doing good. And I'm, out of everything, Don, I'm pretty much thinking it's cell towers with the bees in particular. But the wildlife in general, I've got tremendous activity back here. I really do. The flyovers with the ducks, well, they came in as usual in early spring. We have a lake right here, so they fly by all the time, and there was a lot of that in the spring. Not so much right now. All in all, wildlife and stuff seems pretty normal around here from my observations. The usual roadkill in the road, which disgusts me. See that all the time when I'm out driving around. But the honeybees, no question about it, something strange going on, as well as all the bees, yellow jackets. I see some bumblebees around here too as well, carpenter bees. But honeybees, very scarce right back here. And I know we have cell towers around, and that's what I'm suspecting.
Yeah, I'm sure the cell phones themselves too, the proliferation the massive use of cell phones and Blackberries and all the wireless communications that are going on has got to have some impact. And then two, there's a consciousness thing that's going on. You know, when we hold certain types of thoughts, thought patterns, or even belief systems, and we focus in certain areas of the physical, or we're focused in fear, we're putting out a lot of negative energy. And I couldn't blame insects and animals for wanting to stay away, just because they're not preoccupied with those issues. Yet they do react to how people are acting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on a metaphysical level, this is going on all the time. Likewise, those that are friendly with nature seem to attract animals. And, you know, I'm not saying I don't have animals coming around, responding to the nature, you know, in my yard or in the neighborhood. What I'm saying is that when I'm going other places, I'm noticing birds of prey and not seeing the usual blackbirds or sparrows chasing an eagle or a hawk. Sometimes they do, you know, they can be very territorial, you know.
Crows are the ones that really chase hawks out. The sparrows, they'll be laying low when there's a hawk around.
Oh, I've seen, driving down the highway, I've seen these interactions where you see this small little bird chasing the large ones. And I suppose, in a sense, the hawk is just, you know, chalking it up as a little free entertainment. But the sparrow is definitely serious, and you see the courage in these birds. But that's showing you that these things are going on. This is beyond the norm, you know. It's not something you see every day, but I've seen it enough.
You know? That'll be rare when you see that. But sure, I could see it where the hawk's already in flight, and the smaller bird is coming up from behind to let it know that it doesn't want it around. Yeah, I can see that happening. But otherwise, when there's a hawk around, the smaller birds are laying low. And then
Man. Yeah, but you see these aberrations. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah,
and
yeah, sure. Yeah, but you know, Don, there's always has been that. You know, there's always something going on like that where you wouldn't expect it from nature. But all in all, things seem pretty normal with nature. I do find, at least around in my backyard, whereas where I study it most of the time, I'm not out in the woods much anymore. Don't have chance for that. There's not much woods around where I am right now, in fact. But in my backyard, the wildlife is pretty good. I got quite a bit of it back there. And they're all pretty content, just content, really. They eat well. They have good water for drinking as well. I keep them healthy. I put fresh organic milk out at night for the raccoons or the skunks and the cats. Anything that could have some kind of infection, you don't want to worry about that. So I keep them real healthy. And because they're healthy, they're content. They're fine. They're not nasty or mean. I've got raccoons in my garage up top, and they come right up to me. They honestly come right up to me. And they're totally wild, of course, but they know they're safe. They know me well enough that I put food out. And when I see them around in the garage, I talk to them. So try to tell them quit wrecking the place up top. And then they're welcome. Just don't destroy the place. They're quite incredible because they have hands. They don't have paws. They actually have hands.
Yeah.
So they're very clever. But all in all, nature, I find nature to be really hospitable. I really do, all in all. You've always got some trouble with various critters, birds, blue jays attacking other birds, and especially the young, and, you know, cats doing their usual thing of hunting and stalking. But all in all, nature seems to be, I think she's trying hard to provide. I know just through the gardening with my peach tree in the backyard. I have so many peaches on this tree, it's totally staggering. And I don't think that's not normal. I believe that's an aberration for sure, Don. I just can't believe there's that many peaches on this tree. It's incredible. Hundreds. There's hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. So I sense that maybe nature's just really trying to provide. She's trying to put out as much as she can to help everything on her back, which is all the wildlife.
Yeah, I've had a similar experience with an apple tree, just absolutely loaded with apples. And, you know, we had kind of a cold spring,
sure
abnormally
did.
Cold. And surprisingly, once the weather warmed up, this one particular tree just took off. And so the pollination occurred. Now I'm wondering, how much of that was due to just the wind, you know, especially with the absence of bees?
Right.
And there are other anomalies that are occurring. I noticed trees are getting stressed out. This was a particularly rough winter for them, and it's difficult to gauge what patterns might be developing in nature, just because of all the interference of man. You know, the chemtrail situation has been almost relentless, except maybe within the last half a week or so. Now, that doesn't mean there haven't been any chemtrails anywhere. It's just that the sylphs have been coming to eat them up so frequently that it's not been as successful as they would like. We've had storms. Lots of thunderstorms, and those can be good at certain times of the year because of the extra nitrogen that's in the air. They can also be very destructive when they form at the wrong time. You know, you end up with a lot of tornadoes and destructive hail, and again, these things also affect the insect and the animal populations as well. They can be catastrophic for them, not to mention all the other types of technical pollution that we have going on. So, yeah, I agree. Cell phones definitely has a lot to do with it. I would think chemtrails and some of these really sinister programs that they're starting to develop to take control of the food industry, particularly farmers that are either raising crops or raising livestock, and this whole thing about the Animal ID Act and vaccines and, you know, chipping things. I mean, everything is just becoming a complete abomination. What are your thoughts on that, Michael?
No question about it. This unusual weather pattern we had in the spring is hurting a lot of farmers here in the East. Those that are able to try a second crop may succeed if we have a nice September, nice late summer, early fall. We'll get lucky. But because of the strange weather pattern, Don, and realizing recently how it's really impacting the growing season here, I thought about Illinois area just last year out in that section of the West, where they got hammered in the spring with such a deluge that they lost pretty much everything. Everything got washed out. The corn production, all that was impacted. And we had that similar kind of pattern now here this spring. And so it caused me to consider whether or not it is natural or is it man-made. So time will tell on that, but we seem to be going through what they had last year, and it's not good for food production. And at least with corn and vegetables, the fruit trees, like, you know, where you are with the apple tree, it matches, confirms with what I'm seeing here with my peach, and I'm going to get a chance and go out to the local farmers and see how they're doing. I think the fruit trees and all that, we're going to do good, barring any crazy, unusual weather in the future, but right now the fruit trees seem to really be producing. It's the vegetables that are going to take a big hit here in the East, unfortunately.
Yeah. Now, have you, you know, we're tracking a lot of things. Of course, we're paying attention, not out of fear, to this saga of the bird flu and the swine flu and the Mexican flu and the laboratory created flus. And they're predicting there's people are going to need three vaccines. Now, I'm sort of shifting gears in a sense, but I'm not leaving this topic that we're talking about. They started the campaign. I saw a video today of Meredith Vieira, who is, I think she's the anchor that replaced Katie Couric, if I'm not mistaken. And she was with another doctor who was trying to sell this whole thing about a pandemic, that if people get the first shot, the second shot is a booster, and then the third one, you know, you're not going to get the flu. And they're building this up, and she even came out and said, this so-called expert, mark my words, Meredith, you're going to hear about this all summer and into the fall. So now she's not just somebody in the medical community, she's psychic. And yes, she's making this prediction. Of course, we're being a bit facetious because we know that that's the line that they want to pump. That's the agenda.
That's right. She's just a prostitute for the Rockefeller media, selling the BS to the American sheeple about the agenda, forthcoming agenda.
Yeah. Now they're saying that if you've never had the flu or you know, you've never had a flu shot, this first one is going to build up your immune system so you don't get the flu. But then she says, but you have to get this booster.
Sure.
Because you the flu booster. The flu is going to mutate into something more sinister, you see.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty interesting when you can't get anyone to admit where this is coming from. And, of course, we've reported the numerous cases of escaped vaccines that seem to find their way around the world, and the fact that the mainstream is not reporting the truth about it.
Yes, yes. Well, can't expect the truth from the mainstream media, can we?
No, we can't. And this is available on YouTube, by the way, and it's falling right into the plans. This is being pushed by Obama. Obama's trying to make it mandatory that every American gets three vaccines. Okay, that's 900 million plus vaccines right there. And what do you think they're going to charge per vaccine? Just calculate the money, right?
That's a lot of business.
You know,
I bet they're, of course, they're all big stockholders in the drug companies that they want to peddle on us.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Not to mention
but that's a coincidence, Don. They really care.
Yeah, and then you have to ask how much money they've already received from the lobbyists. You see,
right?
It's just so filthy, there's no foundation in it. There's no basis in truth. The CDC has lied about this, as they have, they lied about chemtrails and Morgellons. And then when they did come out and finally say something a few months ago, they said, well, we're going to have to look into this. But they always said it was Lyme disease, it's not the same thing. It's not showing the same symptoms. In fact, the symptoms are nothing like Lyme disease. Lyme disease, if people didn't have plastic fibers growing inside their bodies, you know. So, go
it's
ahead.
It's not Lyme. Gellens is definitely not Lyme. From my experience with the three cases I had, they weren't plastic fibers. They were just the silky cocoon fibers from the larvae. which were nested, embedded in between the tissue, in between the skin, the layers of skin. So I don't know if there's more than one type of Morgellonstein and what's going on with the synthetic fibers being reported, but my three cases, all, actually four now, four cases, one in Texas not too long ago, they were all natural fibers from this, it's a silk-like fiber from the cocoon of the larvae.
Well, when you get these multicolored fibers that, you know, don't break, they just keep, you know, pulling them out, it's sort of a nanotechnology where the polymers somehow are getting ingested. I would suppose that would occur through breathing and possibly through some skin contact, especially if somebody has an open wound or something, and they come in contact with maybe water or some moisture content. Could be off of leaves of a plant or a tree that, you know, somebody makes that contact. If they have a break in their skin, they certainly can acquire this issue as if they had breathed it in.
I don't know if that's transmitted that fashion or not from my experience with the cases I've had so far. The multicolored fibers, I'm not familiar with that with my cases. However, there is something strange going on at the scalp where something is like replacing the hair and it falls out all the time. And it's apparently some kind of maybe nematode, which is crazy, scary stuff for sure. And I don't know if that's maybe what some of these people are referring to as another material, another kind of fibrous material. But my infection killer, fortunately, handles all of that. In four cases out of four so far that I'm aware of, I did have a guy somewhere in the New England area, but I never heard back from him. And so I'm not sure how he made out or how many bottles of infection killer he got from me. It takes a few to wipe it out for those that are infested quite, you know, for quite some time, meaning that they've had it for over a year at least. It'll take a few bottles to totally wipe it out. You have to get it in its various cycles of growth as it goes from adult to eggs, to larvae, back to adult again. But the infection killer, thank God, it cleans house and wipes out that vermin. But the other scenarios, I'm not sure about, Don. Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you've heard about any particular signs that animals are being affected by chemtrails. There seems to be, you know, shortages of certain animals.
Not that I've noticed offhand so far, no.
Okay. Well, then there's the issue of genetically modified foods. I'm not 100% certain on this, but I heard that Germany banned Monsanto and their genetically modified foods. They're not interested.
France as well.
France too, huh? Yeah, they're not very interested in a one-shot deal on plants. Now, what people aren't even considering is if you get a plant that is designed to just produce one crop, and the very seeds of that crop are impotent, then what would happen in the process of natural selection where these are commingling just in nature? It has the potential to cause all the plants to become impotent, does it not?
Well, it certainly does.
I'm not saying you're going to have corn jumping over to apples, but...
But what you have done, apparently, with Monsanto is a Terminator strain, it's known as.
Mm-hmm.
And what it will do is it's dominant. It makes itself dominant so that all other strains won't have a chance to compete against it. And in time, it will just take over fields and anywhere that pollen spreads to, it'll take over. That's how Monsanto's designing it. And so they call it a Terminator strain. But I'll tell you from personal experience, I don't know if I mentioned this before, about 7 years ago at the local farm here, I went to get some corn, and their local corn. It was late summer, and I had some for dinner, and I got indigestion, which I never get. So I said, well, okay, where'd that come from? I'm suspecting the corn now, and everything else I had for the meal was typical veggies out of the yard, out of the garden. Everything was good. So I'm suspecting the corn, but I'm like, can it be? Is Bob, the local farmer, growing Monsanto GM corn now? So I had some of my herbal tea, woke up the next day, felt fine, everything's fine, no digestion problems at all, through the whole day, have dinner later in the end of the day, get indigestion, have the same stuff with the corn, indigestion, within 30 minutes. So I'm like, okay, there it is again, suspecting the corn, have my tea later on, everything's fine, next day, feeling fine, no problems at all with digestion, have the same dinner again, in the evening, get indigestion again. So now I'm saying, it's got to be the corn. So I go to the farm and I ask them, are you using GM corn? Now, one of the girls working there, I was talking with her first, and she said she noticed the same thing. She was getting indigestion, some griping. And so sure enough, he's growing it, and he felt like I was putting him on the spot, which I wasn't trying to do. I was just asking him out of curiosity because I was getting indigestion, and I don't get that. And that's the only thing I could figure. And sure enough,
don't you have a right to know that if you're eating genetically modified foods?
Sure, but you know, yeah. He might have felt I was putting him on the spot in the store with customers around, even though I wasn't. I was acting low key, not trying to make a big deal out of it. Just curious, wanted an answer. But here's the real point. I noticed it. Everybody else that's eating it doesn't notice it. They don't get indigestion. And I'm like, wow. Why? Is it because their stomachs are not healthy enough that they're not able to sense the indigestion they're getting? That's what really interests me, Don.
A buildup of toxicity, you know.
Sure. An unbalanced, unhealthy digestive tract. So it's always had indigestion for quite a while, so they don't notice it when it, you know, they're so used to it, they don't notice it anymore. Where me, I never have it, and when that happened, I noticed it immediately. And so there's the evidence that it's not digestible. That Monsanto GM corn is not digestible. It will make you sick. So these dirtbags have the intention of taking over all our crop production here and our government helping them to pursue that and get away with that. And we have to put a stop to it. The Europeans were smart. They kicked them out. But now they're here and they want to establish their trademark here, which is GM foods, and we have to shut them right down. Have to tell everybody, listen, if it's GM, don't buy it, let it rot. That's why, like with Kodak's Alimentarius, they want to redefine organic and all that so they can blend GM in with the definition and not actually tell you it's GM, so you really don't know. They're sinister and can't tolerate that at all. We have to make sure they know we mean business. They can go to Hades. We're not going to buy their crap. We're not going to eat it. And if we ever, I'd love to get my hands on these guys because they're evil. They're not just greedy, they're evil. And there's only one thing to do with that kind of people. You have to put them down. But that's just my.
Well, I was alluding at the top of the show that we put out a certain vibration into the universe, metaphysically speaking. We do this with our actions. We do this with our thoughts. We do this by the choices we make or the choices we don't make, whether we make them consciously or subconsciously. We have an impact on everything because all life is tied together. And these types of foods lower the vibration of people. And in many ways, I mean, certainly the mental capacity and the discernment one gains through tapping into their spiritual power gets stifled by this. It lowers the frequency or blocks that discernment totally.
It's unhealthy and therefore becomes an energy drain on our body's system. And the less energy we have, then the less mental clarity we'll have, less control over our mind, thinking positively, thinking constructively. And it sets us up for all kinds of trouble when we have low energy reserves, and that's what those foods will do. They will weaken us clearly.
Yeah. So now I had an experience about a month ago. I checked out a local farm market that was advertising that they were selling organic foods. And, of course, not everything they sold was organic. And I questioned some of the crops that they were growing. Particularly, I asked about corn and the type of seeds they were planting. And I asked if they were using GM corn, and the proprietor didn't want to answer the question, and then he realized I wasn't going to relent, and then he said, "Well, why do you want to know?" And I said, "Well, I think anyone who's buying food is entitled to know the origination of that food, its makeup, its potential to cause them to be in a state of health or in a state of poor health." You know, he was offended that I had asked the question, but I finally got it out of him, and I asked, "Well, why are you planting genetically modified food?" And his response was, "Well, they say that it has a better yield." And I said, "Better for what? Better for your bank account or better mm-hmm. for the health of your customers? You should do a little bit more research."
I wonder if that's the farmer that was here last year, but he closed up and moved.
No.
Market, I did the thing last year, and boy, the guy was really perturbed with me. And I was just being polite, asking him. Mm-hmm. I wasn't putting him on the spot. There was customers around. I wasn't putting him on the spot. I was just like, "Sir, can you tell me what your source of the corn is at Monsanto?" Boy, you know, he got right on me. And then when I told him, "I'm an environmental scientist, you know, and I'm curious," and he said, "Oh, well, I'm PhD and this and that." He was mocking me, basically. But the bottom line with the guy, he didn't look healthy at all. And it's like, "Sir, you don't know, you just don't know who you're talking to. You're mocking me, but you're the guy that's not healthy at all. And I'm just questioning what you're growing as to how healthy is it. And you're making fun of me," and it was absurd. But, yeah, they are very defensive, Don. You're absolutely right. But there's the selling point from Monsanto to the farmer. You can grow this without spraying it because they've not only taken out a protein, which causes the indigestion, but they've added a bacteria when it excrements waste. It serves as a pesticide. And so they tell the farmers, "You can grow this without even spraying it." So the farmers say, "Wow, that's saving me money and time." So you're right, Don. It's saving them money and time.
Now, I was going to bring that issue up regarding some of the pesticides. It's though they put an herbicide in, you know, in the genetic makeup, as you were alluding to. And there's been, I don't know if you've heard about this, there's a rash of suicides amongst the farmers in India who have been lured into using these seeds for growing their crops, and they can't even exist. They're unable to make the payments. You know, many of these programs were initiated upon credit.
Pay license fee to grow it?
I think it's a combination of the cost versus their ability to sell it. They're having crop failures. They're having issues with people that won't buy the product, and these guys are going bankrupt, and they're committing suicide. Now, I'm presuming these are bona fide suicides, not the typical ones that we hear about.
Yes, the kind we have here. But are you referring to farmers as these guys were growing Monsanto strains?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there is a... I don't recall the name. It's been a while since I've read this, but at least a month ago, there's a representative. This was sort of government-sponsored, heavy advertising in magazines and commercials and sort of industrial-type sales-oriented films that they were showing, representing that they weren't going to have any problems with this. It was easier to grow, less work, and of course, it's been the opposite for many of them.
That's for sure. And that's good news, Don. I hope nobody that is growing Monsanto strains has any success, so Monsanto can just lose all they have and hopefully just wither and dry up and go away.
Well said.
Thank you.
Well, now, so, you know, let's talk about this for a moment. This whole issue now of toxifying the body or feeding the body with something that has really no nutritional value. And all the experts in this area, the nutritionalists that I know, and I've had a number of them on the show, Dr. Kasim Khalil, who's an osteopath, Judy Gray, who has a company that's based on wholesome foods and supplements, and the government's given her trouble with her natural products, charging her with making claims that these products are cures for things when she's never made such statements. Basically, all she said is that they're natural and they promote a healthy body and a healthy mind.
Right.
And that's been her career. She's a nutritionalist.
Right.
Her. Let's say purpose in life is to promote good health, and she's being attacked for doing that. If you can imagine,
yes, I can. We're unfortunately, our government is full of evil dirtbags that not only just greedy and selfish. No, that's not enough for them. They have to make sure we're suffering in misery in order for them to really feel satisfied. And so that's what they're after. And anybody that is pursuing health, well, they'll knock you down. But then they promote their stuff, their drugs, and all their synthetics as, oh, this will help wonders. Just take it. And so they're very hypocritical. But, of course, we know the Lord himself made it clear about these hypocrites. And you can't trust them, especially with your back turned to them. And we'll have to just continue to defend our right to be independent, to stay close to nature, God's creation, as divine beings created by the Almighty. And if these vermin want to try to tell us that we're their slaves and we have to do what they tell us, well, again, Don, I have an old-fashioned remedy for such behavior like that. It's called a rope over a big tree limb. And you take care of traitors and crooks and racketeers, mobsters. You take care of them in that fashion. You got a clean house, and that, God willing, that day's coming, because it's either us or them. One of us are going. They have every intention of removing us, and I have every intention of staying. So somebody's going.
Yeah, and there, you know, there's the issue of all the food additives, you know, flavor enhancers and food coloring, and you know, the body is not made when it's toxic. It's not capable of fighting off the negative effects of these substances, which are designed, you know, what do flavor enhancers do? Well, they create a false sense of hunger, sort of an insatiable type of hunger, and you'll see people sit down and eat a whole bag of potato chips or some, or candy or, you know, some product that is
grown in a laboratory.
Yeah. Yeah, modified for the purpose of, you know, increasing consumption without any regard for the health. And you hear about, well, we have to have health insurance for everybody. And, everything is create the disease in any way possible. I'm sorry, go ahead.
War on poverty, Don.
Yeah. War
exactly.
on poverty.
That's right. And so, you know, it's the same old modus operandi from these clown, loser, traitor, sinister, good-for-nothing. And that's just how it is. And I call it laboratory food because it's really, when you see how it's all made, it's basically laboratory and has nothing to do with sunlight and plant activity, with all the nutrients coming up from the soil. It has nothing to do with that. And so you know their real intention is to give us denatured food so that we become weak. When we become weak, we become sick. And when you're sick, where do you go? Well, you got to go to the doctor. And what's the doctor going to do? Well, he'll make you more sick with his drugs and medicines. And I'm not knocking a good surgeon when it's necessary, or any professional that knows how to do his job exceedingly well. I respect and admire all that. I have no respect or admiration for those guys that are just making money on a swinging revolving door on people that are ill, and all they're doing is prescribing them what they're told from the pharmaceutical companies without questioning anything, without having any regard for their clients' well-being. I just can't tolerate that. And that's basically how they operate today.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk about the artificial flavors and stuff, Don. Yes, they do that to the body, but guess what? You know where they come from? Like vanillin, the artificial vanilla flavor? Yeah, that's in paint.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Michael, we have a call here. Sorry to interrupt. We have a caller. Caller, identify yourself, please, and where you're calling from.
Hi, Don. My name is Everett, and I'm calling from Winnipeg.
Well, hello. Wow. You're listening to us all the way up in Winnipeg, huh?
Oh, yes, all the time.
Okay.
I'm your guest as well. Question.
Sure.
My quick question is that the only way that they are able to make modified foods is by introducing viruses into a natural food in order to trick it, in order to splice it, to merge it. And what's to stop them from adding in a component into each different type of food type in order, so once one person eats more than one particular type of genetic food, they build up a new recipe using each component from each different type of food that they make into something even worse.
Yes,
oh, I'm sure that's going on. That's going on in the pharmaceutical industry already. I mean, has been forever. So,
right.
Michael, you want to comment on that?
And greetings up in Winnipeg. The net effect of GM food being introduced is still early to tell because it's going to take time to see how it impacts all people and animals that will be subjected to eating it. But it's going to be detrimental, that's for sure. And I can only think of what it must have been like back in Noah's time when they were doing the same kind of black magic technologies, tampering with God's creation, altering it to suit their own purposes, and having incredible genetic side effects on all kinds of mutations back in those days as a result. So I'm afraid of what to think about here for us in the future if we permit it to continue.
True enough. So I think maybe an underground group of people should get a hold of some nice some farmers who are trying to grow the food properly, including meats and whatnot, in order to maintain a stable diet for people who are in the know.
Definitely.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, I'm hoping to have on the show a gentleman that I just met and had a pretty extensive conversation about the way he grows his livestock, the way he raises them and harvests them. Now, this is in the area of Longhorn beef, Daryl Dickinson, and he's growing free-range animals, and I'm not necessarily condoning eating meat. Some people eat meat and some people don't. Some people actually don't do well as vegetarians. So, you know, your concern should be that you're not getting steroids in your food,
exactly,
which has, you know, it has an impact. And of course, when they're giving steroids to dairy cattle, children are drinking this milk and they're showing the effects of all these hormones at very early ages. You know, we've heard the stories about girls growing breasts at age 10, far beyond what used to happen 20 years ago.
I hope he continues to farm the way he wants to farm without the government getting into it. But I eventually think they will go after him like they've been doing with these people for natural foods as well by promoting, well, it's not with the drug agency, so we don't believe what you're saying, and you're going to have to prove it.
Don't you think we have to stand up to this, though? I mean,
absolutely.
It's more than just watching it, you know.
Yeah, we definitely have to make a stand. That's why I figured an underground movement to make sure that people get the right training and the right information, and to start promoting the natural food stuff without the steroids, without the enhanced foods and the vitamins and whatever else they're adding to it. So, yeah, I totally agree. And good job for you too, guys. I'll keep up the work, and I'll let you go.
Well, thanks for calling in, and keep listening and call in again.
Absolutely. Okay, bye.
Okay. Well, there you are, Michael. The message is getting into Canada.
That's great. That's great. I just love that, and he's right on top of it. He knows exactly what has to be done. He's got the right perspective. It's great. It's just great, Don, to know that, you know, we're creatures of God. We're intelligent beings. They're trying to dumb us down, but we're not going to go for it. We're too smart. And absolutely, we need to support all our farmers in all their endeavors, educate them, make sure they understand what's going on, and so that they adhere to God's way of the natural strains. And we have to defend them and support them when the big corporations backed by our communist, Nazi, fascist government try to shut them down. Because after they shut them down, then they're going to go after all of us. I mean, ultimately, these dirtbags are going to try to ban gardening. They're going to have the audacity to say, you can't grow those tomatoes in your backyard. You can't grow those apples and peaches and everything else you're growing in your own yard. You can't pick the dandelion and the clovers and the burdocks out of your backyard. And, of course, if we allow it to get that far, then it's going to get real messy.
No, this is, you know, nothing but a communist, fascist, Zionist plot to enslave the whole world under a dictatorship, and we're beyond that now. You know, I mean, the game is on. We know what their intentions are, and as Everett was saying, you know, we need to network people, and we need to bring the awareness of these things to people. There's so many who don't pay attention to what's going on. You know, you have this problem in the fast food industry. You have this plot to destroy all the organic growers around the country. It really shows what cowards they are, that they attack a family of three growing tomatoes in a co-op with other farmers in their area, as if something they're doing is dangerous to society. You know, let's stop with the games.
Yeah, like their drug, like the smuggling in cocaine or opium, huh, Don?
Yeah, Michael, we've got another call. Bob is on the line. Bob, where are you calling from?
Colorado.
Oh, this is Colorado, Bob. How are you?
Pretty good. That's me. I'm fascinated by your subject matter tonight. We, my wife and I, have a huge organic heirloom seed garden going. We've been collecting seeds for a number of years, you know, against the day of trouble, the earth changes and the collapse and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But due to the economy and the fact that we speak the truth to people, we've become kind of pariahs around here. We can't find any work, and so we're growing our own food. We hardly go to the grocery store anymore, and you know what? We're getting much healthier and happier. We didn't get the box, so we're not watching the TV. We didn't get the converter, so we don't watch TV. We don't eat at the grocery store or restaurants. Well, we can't afford restaurants anymore. And we've got enough food to feed us this year, to feed us for 3 years, I think. We will by the end of the growing season.
Beautiful.
That's great.
I have radishes like the size of a fist. We have greens and 20 different kinds of tomatoes coming up. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing what we're producing. And it's amazing, all these bailouts. I was reading on the internet today, the Congress just voted itself $4 billion for the expenses for the Congress this year. That means each congressman is going to get $6.9 million a year for expenses. You know,
and they can spend that on whatever they want, right?
Well, Lear jets or $500 haircuts, silk suits.
Expensive hookers.
Out here in middle America, we're being squeezed dry. I mean, I ran into a lady a while back crying in the grocery store over the prices. This is a woman with three little kids crying over the prices of milk and bread and eggs. You know?
Right.
This whole thing is going out of control.
Yes, sir.
So, all I can recommend to people is if you have game where you live, make sure you have plenty of ammunition, and don't take the shots, because my wife and I, we've decided that whatever it takes, it's not just no, it's hell no. We're not taking any more shots.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a military veteran. I was injected so many times, I couldn't tell you how many dozens of shots I received. And now that I'm getting older, I get ill effects of my health that used to occur in men in their 60s and 70s and 80s, and here I am 50-something, and I'm having the beginnings of a number of different conditions, and I'm convinced it's through all the shots that I had.
What kind of conditions, Bob, are you experiencing? Infections?
Michael,
well,
excuse me one second. Michael, you got to get a little closer to your mic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Maybe restate that question.
Well, I was just curious, Bob, as to what kind of symptoms are you dealing with now?
Well, I have the beginnings of diabetes, and both my wife and I were both in our 50s and were beginning to get foggy. I know that's quite common, but we have no energy, we get listless, and I think that correlates directly to the chemtrails. We don't drink the water, we don't take the shots, we don't, you know, eat fast food.
You don't cook on aluminum, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Your water
source? Go ahead, Michael, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Don, just double-checking on Bob's water source.
We get municipal water that is treated, but we filter it through an RO unit and then charcoal filter it. So we're removing...
You're getting a lot of it out, yeah?
98% of the garbage out of it.
That's
Unfortunately, we don't have a pure water source in the mountains of Colorado. Isn't that tragic?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's 21st century. USA.
Bob, I'm going to do a show on the 1st, which will be actually Wednesday. I'm going to do a solo, and I'm going to talk about these issues and in terms of mental preparation and belief systems and the way we've been programmed, because a lot of this... Let me just point out, and I'm going to discuss this more on that show. It's sort of going to be like a lecture, okay? But it's going to be open to phone calls from the listeners, of course. And I'm going to expound on the reason why we're here, okay? And the difference between the physical and the mental and the spiritual and how they all affect each other, how they're interwoven together. And one of the things that I want to get into in depth, I've had a lot of listeners ask me to do this, and even some close friends. When I would begin talking about this in normal conversations, they'd say, "Why don't you do a show on that?" And I'm thinking, you know, I should bring some of this information forward. Now, this is my take on things, but I'm fairly certain that many, if not all, of the listeners are going to be able to relate to what I say. And it has to do with how we're conditioned from the day we're born. We're told in school men live a certain number of years and women live a certain number of years. And if you're fortunate enough to live a little bit longer than that, well, that's, you know, you were lucky. And many people are dying earlier, which is a direct indication of these problems mounting in many ways, and they don't always, the symptoms of a certain kind of illness don't appear with any regularity, or we're not really taught, you know, how to tell when something is really wrong. We know we don't feel right, or we look at ourselves in a mirror and we see ourselves aging. And a lot of that is because of belief systems and the way we're programmed. So I'm going to do a show on that on Wednesday. I urge you to tune in.
Well, one thing I would like to say is I'm old enough to remember old people, you know, from the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember where I grew up out in California. It had been an agricultural community, but it turned into city like all the rest of Southern California. But I remember old people in our neighborhood in their 70s and even into their 80s, and they gardened. I remember seeing an 80-year-old man, you know, once a week going out with one of those old-timey push lawnmowers and mowing a quarter-acre lot every week, you know. And the old people you see these days, I mean, I meet some that are pretty spry and intelligent, but most of the old people you meet these days are pretty foggy. And I witnessed my stepfather pass away about 15 years ago as a result of a long battle with Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's always been conditions like this, but what I'm seeing more and more in older people is less and less... They're there less and less, and there are more health issues. There's more cancer. There's more diabetes. There's more obesity. There's just more of everything, and I see it directly as a result of the onslaught on us. I mean, they're stealing all the money. They're buying up the world with all their ill-gotten gains, and now it looks like they just want to kill us all off. Now that they own everything, they just assume kill us all off. It's
well,
really
we have a choice. We have a fundamental choice, don't we, as to whether or not we're going to allow their plans to dictate our future.
And
well, we're doing everything we can. We're growing our own food, yeah, and educating
That's right.
ourselves and doing everything we can. I don't know what else I can do. But well, I try to warn people as best I can. But
yeah, well, you know, we're living in a physical reality, and there are certain rules or certain laws, I should say, universal laws that we are not aware of as a race of people, as humanity, or as a collection of living organisms with consciousness. And many of us are not at all in touch with our spiritual selves. And so we don't make available to us what is out there. You know, there are angels constantly trying to help us. Of course, they're sent by God. God is constantly trying to help us. And he is, over our history, he sent prophets to teach us these things. And still we rely on these systems, and they're all based upon belief and a lot of disinformation. Obviously, they're not telling us the truth, or people wouldn't be getting sick like they are, would they?
No, they're poisoning us, is what they're doing.
Yeah. So, I mean, what you're describing is, to me, it appears to be an issue of toxicity, and I'm not saying, you know, that you're feeding that, but you still have to remove the toxins from the system, and that allows regeneration to take place, because the toxicity is poison. I mean, you can't be healthy and poisoned simultaneously. One or the other is going to be the norm, and until you release the toxins, that which is affected by the toxins is going to be in that state of toxicity and dysfunction. Michael, you want to comment on that?
Sure. Well, I would recommend herbs, of course, for that kind of detoxing. That's the safest, most effective way. And I have something called System Toner, which is great, and Cancer Blaster, which really purifies everything super fast. And also, Bob, with all the gardening and all the natural food approaches you're having to stay healthy, don't exclude or minimize the sprouts. And out of all the sprouts, in particular, the sunflower sprouts, they're great. And when you eat them just at the right time, any kind of sprout, sunflower, or any kind of vegetable sprout, they're all very nutritious. But the key to a sprout for consumption, to benefit from it, you have to make sure you eat it just as it's standing with the two seed leaves developed. Once it gets a growth coming up between those two seed leaves, then the nutrient content, the power in that sprout, is being transferred into the development of the plant that it's going to become, in this case a sunflower. And so you have to eat it before that growth comes up between the joint. And then they're very tasty, and they're very nutritious, and when you eat them by the handful, you'll be amazed how good they make you feel. Very strong.
We've got a garden mix with like six or seven type, and we grow them about 5 days till they're about an inch and a half, and then
right.
Set them outside That's for a couple hours, and then they turn dark green, and then we eat them.
Yeah, they're perfect. Get them nice and green this time of year. Exactly. That chlorophyll is so healthy. Perfect.
We're working on these things.
I recommend consuming a lot of it, Bob.
Uh-huh. I just discovered from one of my neighbors worked for the Forest Service. He was out in the woods, and a guy stood up next to him in the bushes. He didn't even know he was there. He was covered with mud and dirt, and he had this big, long canvas drag bag, like a cotton picker bag, full of osha root, fresh osha root he picks up in the mountains, and he sells it for like $10-$15 a pound to people around the country. He ships it to them. But I looked it up on the internet, and it's supposedly great. It cures influenza, the cold, respiratory infections, all kinds of stuff. And he showed me on a map where to go get it. He told me about a valley up in the mountains that's full of this stuff. So we're going to go in the next few days and try and get about 1,500 pounds of that and start playing with that and see if that helps too. But I think that sounds like a really good thing for the all these flus that they're ginning up for us. I just assume take my chances with nature as a let some mad scientist stick a needle in my arm. It's just not going to happen that way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, listen, Bob, we've got to end your call, unfortunately. We're out of time on the show tonight, but I want to thank you for calling in. And definitely tune in. I mean, tune in every night. I'm not telling you just tune in Wednesday, but I'm going to talk about this Wednesday evening, Thursday morning. I want to get into this because there's a mindset to all of this that's extremely important. And you know, when you make this spiritual connection, when you get in touch with your higher self and your connection with the rest of the universe, you'll be amazed at what you can overcome. And the protection will be there. And so I'm going to talk about that on Wednesday.
All right. Thanks, Don.
All right. Thank you. You have a good night, Bob. Well, Michael, we're out of time. I want to give you a moment to share your parting thought until your next appearance on the show. Got you booked for several shows in the month of July, so we certainly can continue this.
Yep. I look forward to it. It's always a blast. I would just like to say that, yes, we have to make our own decisions, and what goes into our body temple's our choice. Now, they can tempt us with all kinds of assortments laid out in front of us 24/7 everywhere we go, but it's up to us to pick it up and eat it or drink it. They can't force us to do that just yet, even though they're working on it. And so it's really sad to see how so many people just really don't have a regard for their health or their body being a temple. And they shovel in all kinds of abominations, supposedly called food, but obviously not food at all, because it robs you of your health rather than giving your body health. And food, by definition, gives your body health. So we have to take responsibility for all our actions, for sure, and it's really sad to see a lot of people like my mom, my parents' generation. They just don't question what they eat and drink. They're just content with it tastes good, and that's all that matters for the most part, regardless of the ingredients. And it's really sad. We have to make sure that we don't perpetuate that kind of ignorance and start to assume total responsibility and understanding. We're part of nature. That's God's creation. You want to be happy? Then stay close to Mother Nature. Get very intimate with her, especially the plant kingdom and her herbs. And I promise you, with a good diet, you'll stay strong and fit. I mean, I thank the good Lord all the time because of what I know. Don, I'm never sick. You know that. Never sick. I'm always a ball of energy, 24/7, even when I'm tired. And I always have a lot of energy. That's the key. Energy is power. Power is awareness. And with awareness, we can do anything.
Yeah. Personally, if I'm sick, I'm sick of the games.
Amen.
That's about it. Well, Michael Anthony, thanks for being on the show. I want to encourage listeners to go to my sponsors page at directlightproductions.com, and you'll see Michael Anthony's herbs there. Michael's contact information is also there on that page, and I look forward to your next interview, Michael. You have a good evening.
Thank you, Don. Good night now.
Okay, folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in, as well as our callers, Everett and Bob. Thank you so much for being part of the show. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. Join me tomorrow for our special guest, Ken Adachi. In the meantime, I wish you a good night.